child.
Oh, bless you, dear.
So our little friend thinks that you are a funny woman.
Yes, wonder why.
Well, I suppose the word funny can be interpreted in many ways. You can be funny, what you say, ha-ha. Or you can be funny, quite perhaps, without realizing. Perhaps it can be that you have a wonderful sense of humor. Funny, I think this word funny can be interpreted in different ways.
Yes.
I suppose in a sense he is right. I do not mean that you're funny myself to behold or anything like that. But I think that there are aspects of one's nature which might be called funny. People seem to have the idea that when one leaves the body and comes over here, that they're coming into an environment or condition of life that will be in a sense far removed from material condition of thought. In a sense, of course, this is true. But there also seems to be this idea that there is no fun or no laughter or joy over in this world. Well, of course, this is completely wrong.
Yes.
Here, a sense of humor is just as important. We are happy. We have many things to amuse us too and interest us. I wouldn't like to feel there was no humor over here, people to think there was no humor.
Oh, no.
Actually, it's very important to any form of existence, no matter what strata of which one may be. Humor, laughter, gaiety is important.
Yes.
Of course there is fun, of course there is humor. And I think that probably what Mickey meant to convey in regard to yourself, that you do appreciate humour.
Oh, I do.
That you like to be happy, you like to be bright and cheerful and gay. Mm-hmm. All this is a sense of fun, a sense of outward and inward, of course, a realisation of the things of the mind and of the spirit that are of value. People shouldn't assume that everything to do with spiritual truth and spiritual awareness and consciousness is necessarily serious.
Yeah.
There are the other aspects where humour plays a very important part. This is a world full of humour, full of laughter, full of joy. It's not depressing, it's not sad, and it's certainly not, as some people might think, of a religious sense. People have this word idea that the realm of spirit is an extension of the church. Actually, it's just the opposite. One might say, in absolute truth, that it is so unlike, thank goodness, the church, that it's a relief. It's something so far removed from the orthodox idea of heaven. The orthodox idea of heaven seems to be some sort of place where everyone is very goody-goody, where everyone is getting together, praying and singing hymns and worshipping. This isn't a life or an existence of any value. This is a reality of a world where action is important and vital, where people are vital and important, where there are things to do, things in which you can take a part and express your joyfulness. Here this is a world of joyfulness and activity. It's not an extension of the church. I'm very anxious that people should realize this, because it does seem to me there are so many people in your world that have this strange illusion, this strange idea, that the world of the spirit is something not unlike what, well, I suppose, certain early teachings from the church and members of the church would have one believe. It's so opposite to all that. It's nothing at all to do with that. This is a life, a reality. This is something which is so vital and so important. We're not constantly praising the Lord. We're not constantly on our knees worshipping. We're not constantly singing of hymns and chanting of psalms. All this is man's idea, conception. This is a world of living reality in which millions, untold millions of people congregate on different spheres according to their evolution and development, living a life vital and important, each and every one, working towards the common good, each one expressing his aspect of God's power and love and wisdom, each person, individual, even though working in a collective sense, each individual retaining personality as you would remember it and desire to know it, No one is lost. Everyone has for themselves opportunity in so many different fields of activity. This is what makes life interesting and exciting, because it is an extension of your world, but with a greater vision, a greater realization, in which we have lost, as it were, much of the old self that marred our disposition, that marred our character, which marred our being. Here we are, as it were, the same but removed from the old self in the worser sense, but gaining by spiritual knowledge and experience, and we cannot, and we have no desire, even though we desire to progress, we have no desire to lose touch with those that we love. We are, in fact, and we might say, the more we spiritually advance, the more we become aware and conscious of greater extension of realization of self, the more we are extending our auric emanation, that we can reach and express and feel and sense and know other aspects of life. So, to some extent, in our progress, we remember you with a greater love and a greater affection, knowing your needs, and in consequence we endeavour and strive to guide, to teach, to help and uplift you. There are these people who would say, oh, they have gone, and one shouldn't interfere, one shouldn't sort of try to make contact with the so-called dead. It would be wrong to call them back. So many fallacies, so many nonsensical things are said. No one can call us back. We come of our own accord because we love you, because we've got such joyful tidings, such wonderful news, such great experience to give to you, to tell you, so that your vision may be a little clearer, so that you may be full of anticipation yourselves of the joy that is yet to come for you. We want to share it with you. When one has good news, when one has happy tidings, one feels one wants to burst the chains and the bonds and get out and about among people and say, look, have you heard this? So many people are under the impression that it is wrong to call us up, which is so stupid, because no one can call us up. We come because we want to come. And you know, when you go to the churches and the societies, and there are these dear souls sitting there, some, of course, who are already convinced, but others who are sort of wondering and searching and hoping and praying for perhaps some message from some soul they've known, hoping that it's true what they've heard. We try, of course, to enter into their vibration, enter into their conditions, and give to them messages and help them, to uplift them, to cheer them up. But at the same time, I don't think always people realize their difficulties, and I don't think the individuals often on your side are concerned so much with the problems of communication. I suppose in a sense one could hardly expect it to be otherwise, but nevertheless we do have difficulties. You see, unless the individual's relational friend is present, there again, you see, we can't call them up. People seem to think, you know, that if they go to a medium, or if they are in communication with a medium, that medium can automatically bring through their mother or their father or their brother. Well, that's quite not so, because unless the mother or the father or the soul in question is present with that person wanting to make communication, we cannot, very rarely anyway, make contact with the person's mother or father if they have themselves not made the attempt at it.
No, I understand that.
You see, there are those people who seem to think that we can act like a cook's guide. You know, and that we can go paging the heavens, the spiritual spheres, and saying, is Mrs. Daisy Smith there? Because her daughter wants to speak to her. You see, when one realizes that in every conditional strata of life here, every sphere, and indeed on not only on every sphere, but on every individual part of a sphere, untold millions of people dwell. And Daisy Smith, for instance, may be far removed in an environment of which we ourselves may not have any real consciousness. You see, there are so many spheres and conditions of life that no individual would necessarily know of all these spheres. Yeah. There must be many conditions of life of which I am ignorant, upon which may dwell many individuals and peoples whom I've never had any contact with. I know certain spheres of my near the earth. I know certain spheres through which I have had my experience, through which I have been, you might say, and spheres which I have visited, and of course the sphere upon which I have my personal existence. But people seem to have this idea that, that the spirit world is, in a sense, all one sphere. Well, it's not so, and yet in a sense it's so, from the point of view that there are many different stratas or conditions of life, and one sphere may contain thousands of different conditions according to the individuals who dwell there. But of course one individual cannot know all the different conditions and aspects of life that may and do exist. I wish people could realize the immensity of the spirit world.
Yes, thank you.
Because you know you do get these souls on your side, who well-meaning and often very well-deserving, who seem to think that providing they sit with a medium, particularly one who is highly recommended and whose guides are accepted and appreciated and who prove their worth, that once they have sit with that person, that whoever they want can be brought to them, and that the medium's guide can go sorting out all sorts of people over in the realm of spirit and bring them through. This is not true. If the individual who is seeking the proof and seeking the help and comfort is fortunate enough to have with them on that occasion the particular person or persons they want to communicate, then of course our task is made much easier, and it is more than possible they will receive messages either directly or indirectly from those people, and we can sometimes pass on the messages if they cannot communicate themselves. But it is impossible. You see, the point is that it is impossible for us to ferret out individuals, quite often impossible. And secondly, it may well be that some people on arriving here and finding their new existence so much to their liking, they are so happy, so fully interested in their new life, they have no desire to return, or they may lose all sense of time. You see, that's another problem in communication that people don't understand. Time is not the same with us. Quite often, indeed, the vast majority of people, that even those who show an interest and do return and take an interest in your world and the people in your world, particularly relations, they may not be conscious of time at all. You may say to yourself, oh, next Thursday is so-and-so's birthday, you see, and you think, oh, well, perhaps that being the birthday that that person will communicate with me. Well, it may well be that they do communicate, but it doesn't necessarily mean to say that they themselves are conscious of the fact that it is their particular earthly birthday. If they are conscious of the fact, it's much more likely that they've received it from your thoughts, that you've said, oh, next Thursday is so-and-so's birthday. So they say to themselves, oh, she says so-and-so, so-and-so is my birthday. Which is, the point is that our communication, our link, shall we say, with the earth is purely and solely a mental one. When people can realize this, I think they'll understand a little more about communication. Our communication with you is purely on a mental strata. The thoughts are the predominant factor. Thoughts are the realities to us. We are living in a world which is a thought world, where thought has created a condition of life which is very real and very solid to us. It's as real, our world is as real to us as yours is to you. Yours is, in a sense, although you don't always realize it, a mental world just as much as ours is.
Yes.
You have physical aspects of life, but behind all the physical aspects of life is the mental. Without that, I mean, the reality of thought is such that it can bring into being all manner of experiences, and it can bring into being all sorts of things. Complete, when people realize the power of thought, and it is this aspect of self which is so vital, which is really, in a sense, a living expression of the individual. If we were to cease to think, we would cease to be. And when one wants to communicate, it's a transmission of thought, which a sensitized person, such as yourself as a medium, will receive and respond to, and will then give forth to whoever the message is for. When I come and speak to you, my thoughts are such that they are transmitted, and they are, as it were, turned into sound, after all, is only vibration of atmosphere. Transmission of thought into sound is what one is endeavouring to do all the time in communication such as this. But you know, a tremendous amount of thought force is active all around your world. Even those who don't profess to know anything about spiritualism and communication, even those who perhaps would be horrified at the thought of it, they often act as instruments, as mediums. Millions of people are unconsciously receiving impressions and thoughts and messages and ideas from this world. There are thousands of doctors in your world who, without knowing it, are receiving thoughts and impressions from souls on this side, quite often doctors who are in their own fashion trying to help doctors in your world, finding cures for this or that, or helping at operations, helping in all sorts of ways. Tremendous amount of help is given from this side, of which the earth world knows little or nothing. All it knows is that certain things happen, certain results occur, but they don't realize it's often due to the influence of souls on this side. Spiritualists, of course, are fortunate enough to know that this happens, and that they receive messages from their guides, and inspiration from their guides and their helpers. There's so much ignorance, unfortunately, in your world concerning this truth. When man realizes that life is continuous, that the mind and the spirit are always active, it is indeed the mind and the spirit which lives, whereas the rest disintegrates and no longer has any importance. The physical aspect, the material aspect of man loses itself, and at the same time the mental and the spiritual begins to become even more active in a different environment, taking upon itself a new form or new shape or body, in other words, an astral or spiritual body according to the condition of life which it inherits, according to its development or lack of it. If only people could realize the reality of spirit, how active it is all the time. Individual cells and groups collected together are all working for the good of humanity. Of course, it's a difficult task, and well nigh, you might say, impossible task, but nevertheless, we strive, we go on from day to day, as you term time, helping where we can, not only the spiritualists, but the non-spiritualists, the people with and without religion, even in governments, and we help where it is possible to do good, to open the eyes of those who are blind, that they may see, that they may have the vision of the power of the Spirit. And of course it is, let us say, that it is, we hope, through instruments such as yourselves and mediums and those who have the reality of this knowledge, that we shall hope to do more, because where there is the realization of these things, there are the possibilities for greater work. But you know, my dear, you're on the threshold of another year. And I think, in a sense, perhaps you're a little apprehensive. I think, if anything, you're a little apprehensive more about your own health. But you know, you are given strength, you are given a power, which in many ways is remarkable. I know that you may say, I'm not getting any younger, I'm getting older, and I want to continue my work, but how long should I be able to keep up the pace of doing so much and going here and going there? And I know that in the past you've had some setbacks, but the point is, child, that you will be given strength and you will be given help, as you well know. And even when sometimes perhaps things seem a little too much, somehow you're always enabled to do that particular job or this particular job, or go to that place or this place. We do not fail you. You know that only too well. We shan't fail you, child. We shall do everything that we can to keep you as fit as it is possible, and we shall guide you, we shall come through, use you, speak through you, we shall help many people, and together we shall truly serve. And that, after all, is what we are at all times endeavouring to do. Serve, to uplift, to guide, to instruct, to inspire, to give to people the realization of this truth, that it is a reality, not just something that is of the mind and imagination. Of course, in a sense, it must be of the mind, and although people don't fully understand it, they don't really know, of course, what imagination is. But the point is that often that which is termed imagination is reality. There is so much that people think about within themselves. They have a sort of imaginative ideas and things. But if you were to ask them what imagination is, they don't know. Nobody can explain the word. But quite often, imagination is a form of reality. But of course, this is another story, and it would take a long time to go into the details of imagination. But sometimes, not always, but sometimes people shouldn't just say, oh, that's imagination. Because quite often, the things which they think are imagination are often far nearer the truth than they realize. Because there is so much which can be put down to imagination, but if only you realize it on its true vibrational wavelength, as it were. In other words, if you could enter into it fully in the true sense and be one with it, then you'd realize that it was a reality that was coming through, as it were, perhaps only dimly, and expressing itself in some shape or form, which you say, oh, that's just imagination, but it isn't necessarily so. There are lots of things that one can explain, which one hopes to in due course, which may give some people in your world particularly an insight into these things which puzzle them. There are many puzzling features about communication, there are many puzzling features about what the world knows as spiritualism, because they don't understand, and because perhaps in some instances no attempt has been made to explain them. But if people will accept, as they do accept, without any searching for evidence or proof, many of the aspects of the Bible, many of the teachings of the Christ, particularly the appearances of the Christ in the different guises and different ways at different times after his so-called death, if they will accept that without proof, then surely they should be able to accept something which is provable and which is up to date, inasmuch that we do this communicating from time to time whenever it is possible. You know, there are so many who will accept by faith and not accept by experience. So many people will accept this, shall we say, oh yes, well I expect, I believe it to be true, but they won't make any personal attempt. They don't want to prove it. Well, in a sense that may be all right for some, but the vast majority of people who need proof, who need that tangible something which can only come by experience. This is where you and I have come together, where we have much work to do. It's true, we have the philosophy and the teachings and the spiritual realization to give to people, but also we have to give them the proofs where necessary, whenever it is possible. And there are those on this side whose task it is to work with you on that level, because all these different conditions are such that they must be on varying degree or level of condition, so that the best job can be done. My job is to come and teach. My job is to work, in a sense, on a spiritual level of communication, of instruction, of spiritual guidance. There are those whose task it is to do the perhaps more mundane, if you like, work of bringing forth the personal proof and evidence, often so necessary. But we all work together in perfect unison, in perfect harmony, in perfect love, in perfect brotherhood. And we know, my child, that you have been greatly blessed, and that you will continue to be blessed, and that you will be continued to be helped in every possible conceivable way, and that we know that the love that you receive from us is truly great. It is a love which is so powerful that nothing is impossible. Love can overcome all obstacles, all difficulties. I always want you to know there is never a moment of your time when we are not in some shape or form thinking of you, endeavoring to help you, giving you strength and giving you all that we can give in love. This I always feel sure you know. But child, do not fear, and I'm sure you don't, but have strength, have courage, have the realization that we shall guide and help you in every way in the coming months. And that you will be strengthened. Bless you.
Thank you.
I must go. But all love from every soul here.
Bless you.
Bye-bye, child.
God bless, and thank you so much.